Okay, bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We're moving right along to our sixth episode in Ramadan Conversations. And this particular episode, we're going to be talking about the context of the revelation of Surah Al-Duha. The particular surah that most of us are aware of, probably have memorized as well, and we have some understanding that it is a surah associated with some form of depression, that we're told recite the surah when you're depressed or if you're depressed, etc., etc. The efficacy or the importance or significance of that, I'm not going to get into, but yes, the context of the revelation as to how it is related to an experience of sadness that we will talk about. So, just to backtrack and then work our way towards the context of the revelation of the surah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, as the surah itself will tell us, lost, looking for answers, looking for guidance. He has questions, right? Again, that is affirmed by this surah itself, that the surah talks about, when somebody comes to you asking questions. Right? The sa'il. Yes, a sa'il is a beggar asking for money, but a sa'il is also a questioner asking for answers, asking for guidance. Right? So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a sa'il. He is dhallan, as this surah says, وَوَجَدَكَ dhallan fahada. You were lost. So he is lost and he is confused, asking Allah questions, asking for guidance. The guidance that he gets is something that completely shakes him, changes his life, turns it upside down. It's not the sort of guidance he was expecting, that he would become a prophet. And he became a prophet. He made that commitment. He accepted that prophethood. He believed in his own prophethood and in Tawheed. Now, this wasn't an easy decision. We spoke about how difficult it was for him, not the least because of the consequences that it would have, how everything is going to be completely different. And those differences started coming in. So he made a very painful choice, accepted that mantle, that responsibility, goes out to deliver that message, live up to that responsibility. And immediately, the emotional hurt that he's subjected to, what we spoke about last time, follows him along, and it continuously he is being poked, jabbed, and a lot of times crushed by the weight of the words that the Quraysh and the people of Mecca are hurling at him, the abuses that he has to hear. But the consolation that he has, which we spoke about in Surah Al-Hijr and Surah Fatiha, is I have Allah. He's got my back. No matter what happens, no matter how much pain I go through, no matter what they say about me, I will always have Allah. I have this relationship with Allah to fall back on. And what is the manifestation of this relationship? What is the expression of this relationship? Of course, there's prayer. We spoke about that. But there's revelation, Quran, receiving Quran itself. So he has that consolation that no matter what, with everything having been put on the line, reputation wasn't just at stake, it was lost, it was gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being known as sahir, as kadhab, as all of those horrible appellations, being Majnoon, mad, crazy, poet, all sorts of things. Liar, deceiver, con artist, all of those. His reputation flung against the wall. But he has this reassurance, I have Allah. I have Allah. What does that mean? He will continue to send me messages. He will continue to send me revelation, to reassure me. He'll keep on talking to me. We have each other. So it is this relationship that he's putting everything on the line for. And lo and behold, that same revelation stops coming. The one thing that he was banking on, that which he was his consolation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, without any notice, without any warning, without Allah telling him that this is about to happen, it stops. He'd just gotten used to it. He just started experiencing the fulfillment that it comes with despite the pain. And he was longing for it, anticipating it. And it's gone. One day, 2 days, three, it's not coming. No revelation. No revelation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam starts to develop a fear. What if I've lost it? What if I did something wrong that has displeased Allah, and now I've been deprived? Now I've been abandoned. I've made all of these claims, and I don't know where to go from here. And that which was supposed to tell me where to go from here has been taken away from me. That which I was banking on, falling back on, relying upon, that relationship with Allah, I may have just lost it. Allah has abandoned me. Allah is upset with me. He's displeased with me. He's angry with me. Maybe I was supposed to do something better, do something differently. I did not. And so this extreme grief associated with this crippling fear that I've been abandoned. Now what do I do? And now for another phase, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks himself the question, or the question just pops into his head, what's the point then? What is the point? How do I carry on like this? If it isn't coming, if it isn't going to come, I might as well end it. What's the point in me continuing to live? All is over. Everything is gone. That's the context. That's the background. On top of that, the mockery of the Quraysh has reached new levels. Now they have more to hurl at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happened to your demon? You're not getting your possession spells anymore. You're not hearing your voices anymore. Whatever happened? Oh, did you do something wrong? Did you make him angry? Or are gods angry at you? Etc., etc., etc. They're not implanting these ideas. These ideas are there. They're inflaming them. They're adding fuel. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is struggling with these thoughts, with these feelings. Extremely sad. Very scared. Very alone. Feeling abandoned. And it is in this context that Surah Al-Duha is revealed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal-duha. By the bright morning hours, the early morning time, or the bright morning time, not necessarily the early morning, but when the night is, or when the day is really bright. Allah swearing by that time. Wal-layli idha saja. And the night when it is calm, when it is still, and how both of these states, with everything in life, whether it is your journey in spirituality, whether it is your journey intellectually, whether it is your journey professionally, whether it is your journey in any relationship of your life, any relationship, your spouse, your God, there are going to be necessarily patches of darkness, periods and cycles of night. They're not just sporadic, they are inevitable and frequent. They are to be expected. That even with this relationship, that relationship that provides Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stability in his life, even that, you can expect for it to have its dark hours, nighttime. It's not always going to be the same. It is not always going to be something that you can take for granted, because that is what ends up happening. You start taking, no matter how valuable something is, you start taking it for granted if it is in continuous supply. So whether it's iman or spiritual, whatever it is, you're in a journey, you've taken on this mantle. It is not a bed of roses. It's not a walk in the park. There are challenges that will come. Not the least of those challenges is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced, that anyone journeying anywhere will also experience. And it is but natural that the first time you experience that dark patch, because once you find the light, you think, this is it, I got it, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have this light with me forever. And this is going to be my anchor. But then there comes a time, especially the first time is the hardest, when you lose it. And you're thrust into darkness one more time, and the fear overwhelms. Oh my God, I thought I had reached, I thought I had gotten it, I thought I had everything that I needed. It's been taken away from me. Now what? I'm back to square one. I'm back to zero. I have to start over. Or what's the point in starting when I'm going to lose it again? There's no point. There's all confusion. Allah says, don't think about day and night. Allah is swearing by day and night. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Bright morning hours, night when it is still. Look at this cycle. Look at how these polar opposites complement each other, come together, and make life possible. This is not just necessary for biological life. This is necessary for spiritual life, for emotional life. That you have these cycles, if you will. But they're not cycles that are going around in circle. These are cycles that are progressively taking you higher. Provided, of course, you're bringing in the responses that you're supposed to bring, that you're getting from the night what you're supposed to get, and you're getting from the day what you're supposed to get. You take a cross-section of it, day and night look like going around in circles, back to square one, take two steps forward, two steps backward. No. As it's arranged, it is arranged such that these cycles are propelling you upwards, forwards. And it is because they're cyclical that they have this ability to propel you upwards. If it was just one static state, that would not have been possible. And yes, that makes it painful. Yes, that hurts. It's not something pleasant. It is devastating, especially when you encounter it for the first time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was devastated. He was contemplating finishing himself off. That is how devastated he was. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah comes back with, reassurance and says, your Rabb, your Rabbuka. Again, pretty much every section that we've studied, how many times have we read Rabbuka, your Rabb? And within that, the indication as to how this is facilitating the same process of Rububiyyah, that same process of Allah nurturing you, evolving you towards your growth, towards becoming a better, stronger person. For that, night and day are necessary. For the growth of plants, for the growth of biological life, night and day are indispensable. Everybody knows that. It's like sixth grade biology. Photosynthesis, respiration. Morning, evening, how they alternate. Animals, plants, how that works. For spiritual life too, it is important. It is a part of the process of Rububiyyah. As human beings who have now consciously stepped in, deliberately stepped in and acknowledged to be in the relationship with their Rabb, they have acknowledged to get in a relationship of growth. This Rabb-Abd relationship. Now I'm going to facilitate. Now I'm going to participate. Prior to this, my biological life, the biological phases of development that I went through, I wasn't consciously, deliberately involved. Or if I was, I don't really have a memory of that. But now, by choice, I'm committing. And Ya Allah, you're pulling me up. You're making me grow. I'm with you in this. I'll respond. So it is for me to be grateful in the morning hours and for me to be patient in the night when it is still, trusting that morning will come again. Even though sometimes the night is very long and you don't think that day will ever come, but to trust, to have faith, to hold strong, to make the most of the night, the rest. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَّ. Your Rabb has not abandoned you. He's not displeased. Don't worry about that. That's not what this is. We can't jump to that conclusion. This too is a necessary part of who you want to be now. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And the later period, what is to come, will be better for you than what was there before. Again, the cyclical process going upwards. Because when you do, in the short term, experience this cyclical process, it seems like you're still standing there, again, like we said, back to square one. And a lot of people say this in their relationships, in their journeys. I feel like I haven't made any progress at all. I'm still where I was 2 years ago. I'm doing the same things again. So it's a very overwhelming feeling that not making any progress. No, you keep at it. You do what day requires you to do. You do what night requires you to do. And what consequences are going to be better. The destination is going to be better from where you started off. There is no question in that. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. For you, Ya Rasulullah, it is going to be better. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And pretty soon we're going to grant you with which you are going to be well pleased. You're going to be happy. You're going to be satisfied. Right now there is no happiness. Right now there is pain. There is difficulty. But pretty soon you keep yourself committed to this process and you will start seeing the results. The results, of course, ultimately in the hereafter. But we jump to the hereafter and the results and rewards in the hereafter way too early. There are results and there are rewards here and in the immediate future, in this world. There is an akhirah in this world. There is an akhirah after this world for sure. But then the akhirah here, the consequences here. Which is why the scholars have always translated and interpreted this akhira not as the afterlife, but as what is to come, the later period. You will see consequences, you will see results, and they will be pleasing to you. Keep at it. Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa. Did Allah not find you an orphan and He gave you refuge? Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this present period of sadness and fear, is being reassured to look forward to the future, but he is also being reassured by remembering the past. And yes, the past that he is being called to remember is a painful past. When he was yatim, when he lost his father. He was born and his father had already passed away. He was put in foster care pretty early to be nursed, had to leave his town, which is fine. He was too young to realize that. But then that meant he had to leave whoever was in his foster, whoever his foster parents were. Leave that, come back to mother, spend a few months with her. Or maybe even less than that, and the foster parents want him back. I'm like, okay, go back. Eventually come back to mother. Not spend a very long time with her and she passes away. She dies. Goes to grandfather. Lavished with love. Grandfather dies. One after the other. Repeated orphaning that he experienced. But throughout, I mean, if you look at any individual instance, it is very painful, whatever he went through. But if you look at it in its entirety, as Rasulullah ﷺ is being reminded to look at it, he's being provided shelter one after the other, not by one stable source, but by different sources, for him to be able to understand that the one providing the shelter is Allah, the one taking care of him, even if it's not one human person that he can absolutely rely on. There is one being that he can rely on who's orchestrating all of this. So we found you an orphan and we gave you refuge. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَلًّا فَهَدَى. He found you wandering, lost, looking for guidance, and he guided you. Cave of Hira. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. He found you poor and he made you rich. You didn't have a lot of resources. Allah provided you with resources. Marriage with Khadija. There is a hint here. There is an indication to the maqam of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the resources that she provided Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, Allah is attributing that to Himself. That she was extending Allah's will, as were the people before providing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shelter. They were extending Allah's will. Allah takes, reassures Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and reminds him that it was him, that they were doing his will. What does that say about them, their maqam? فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. And so for an orphan, never ever be harsh. Do not be harsh to an orphan. Because when you start getting even a continuous supply of spiritual good, you take it so much for granted. The spiritual high, as we say, the honeymoon period of your spirituality, very beginning of becoming passionately religious, everything is flowing, going great, awesome. And then you start stumbling. You start realizing that there's not as much fuel in the tank as I had when I first started this wonderful new life. That phase is important. Losing that or getting out of that honeymoon period and getting into the struggle period. It's inevitable. And that's where the real journey begins. And a lot of the people at that time were like, oops, not for me. Yeah, it was a phase, it passed, move on, something else. No, that's where the real challenges come in. And that is for you to ensure that you don't take that for granted. And that you remember, you continue to remember what it means to be lost, what it means to not always be in that flow state, that blissful phase. So that there's going to be so many other people who are lost, who are not, who don't have that or haven't experienced that yet. You're able to empathize with them, remembering your origins, remembering where you came from, remembering your suffering. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. So Allah reminds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of those painful experiences, how those painful experiences culminated in relief, in the growth of him coming out of it, of being sheltered from it, being guided, being provided. And how all of those memories and the reminders that you get of those right now in your current state, with the patches of darkness that come in, that is to ensure that you maintain this good treatment, this compassion towards those deprived. That's the meaning in your suffering. And to ensure that that meaning remains alive, an experience of that suffering has to remain alive as well. Otherwise, we are wont to forget. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. So for the orphan, never be harsh. You were an orphan. Take care of orphans. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ. And for the sa'il, the one looking for answers, or for money, whatever, either way, asking. وَفَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Do not shout at them. Do not berate them. Do not just go all out at them. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ. And as for the ni'mah of your Rabb, فَحَدِّثْ. Continue to proclaim it, to report it, acknowledging it. As you're giving, you're acknowledging. As you're giving, you're proclaiming, I have this, it is from Allah. That is not the space for artificial humility. Oh, no, this is nothing, I don't have anything, no. No, you have it, show it, give it, let people benefit from it. Yes, acknowledge that it is from Allah, of course. But wear it. You don't just have to be so self-denigrating at that point. Oh, I don't have anything, I am nothing. You know you're something. Allah's made you something. Stand up. Chest out, shoulders down, accept the goodness that you have. Don't humiliate yourself. Because when you are humiliating yourself, it is depriving yourself of the ni'mah, of the blessings of Allah, and rejecting how much of a blessing that is. Head high. Again, qiyam, stand up. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.